Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer, and I love all things tech, and it is time for another classic episode of Tech Stuff. This episode originally aired on November 28th, 2011, and Chris Paulette, my co-host and editor at the time, and I decided we wanted to take a look at something that's kind of hard to see, that is, when it's actually being used. I'm talking about night vision. How does the technology work? Well, Chris and I found out, and now you will too. Enjoy this classic episode. Night vision, the technology, dates back to the late 30s, early 40s. Mm-hmm. It was technology that was developed during World War II and used mainly by the American, British, and Soviet forces during World War II, although other nations began to develop their own version of night vision technology around the same time.
Well, yeah, the Germans, a lot of what we had as far as our technology in the United States was based on some German research that was done in the late 30s.
Yeah.
And really what it comes down to is the spectrum of light that you're trying to see.
Yeah, it's two different things. It's trying to accept other parts of light that the human eye is not able to detect, and also to amplify whatever little light is there. There are two main ways of achieving a night vision technology. One is called image enhancement, and that's where you're taking the little amount of light that's out there and trying to amplify it so that, you know, you're able to see better in that environment. And the other is thermal imaging, which is also, you know, we think of that as being able to see heat. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole idea about, like, if you've ever seen that documentary, Predator.
Yeah.
The Predator actually uses both forms of this, but the thermal imaging would be the one where it switches and it's that really colorful display where the hotter things in the field of vision are a brighter color, usually red. Mm-hmm. And then the cooler things are in the other part of the spectrum of light. So they'd be, you know, if it's cold, it might be black, but if it's cooler, it might be blue or even kind of an indigo color. Both of those are ways of achieving night vision. I think the one that most people think of when they think of night vision is the one where you've got the greenish display. That's the image enhancement approach. And
I think that's the reason people think about it is because it's used that way in TV and the movies.
Yeah.
Probably so as a visual clue to the viewer that, hey, we're doing something that you can't normally do.
Right. Yeah. I watched a movie just last night that involved having night vision, mm-hmm. the screen tinged night vision. And it was, and I'm not going to call it a documentary because that's how much of a skeptic I am. It was Paranormal Activity 2.
Mm-hmm.
And, in Paranormal Activity, those movies, those are done as found footage movies, which, you know, in case you're not familiar with the term, that's the idea where the film is presented as if it were a collection of clips taken from various cameras that it wasn't meant to be a feature film. It was supposed to be actual footage shot of something.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Cloverfield is another example, or Blair Witch Project is another example.
Yeah, that's the first one I thought about.
Yeah, and it's really popular with the horror crowd. So the Paranormal Activity 2, there's one of the cameras that is being used in that has a night vision setting, and it's using the image enhancement approach. By the way, in case you're curious about why green, the answer I found through my research was that the reason why you get green images is not because of any technological limitation. It's because if you're in an environment where you're using night vision, you want to be able to switch between night vision and your normal vision as quickly as possible. But if you use really intense light and some of the brighter lights, your pupils will constrict as you're looking at it, which means when you take the night vision glasses off, it's going to take more time for your eyes to readjust to the darkness around you. But the green that is used is a more subtle light, and so your pupils remain mostly dilated. So when you remove the night vision goggles, you don't have as long a time to adjust. It doesn't take as long for you to adjust to regular night vision, like our natural night vision, when you go back and forth. And that kind of makes sense to me. I mean, if you, especially when you consider that night vision was really originally used as a military technology, you would want to be able to have as much versatility and flexibility as possible so that you can adapt to whatever the situation calls for.
Yeah, that makes absolute sense to me.
So at least according to that, we could in theory have night vision where it's any color. It still probably be monochromatic. But we'll get into that when we get into the, you know, exactly what's happening.
Okay.
So all the different kinds of night vision rely at least somewhat on the infrared part of the spectrum of light.
Right. And that infrared spectrum of light is outside the range of the visible light spectrum.
Yes.
In fact, there are three parts to the infrared spectrum, which is near infrared. And that's the closest one to the visible spectrum.
Yes.
Spectrum.
Yep.
Yes, I can say that word. Mid infrared. And that has, I didn't mention the wavelengths. The wavelengths for near infrared are from 0.7 to 1.3 microns. Mid infrared has wavelengths from 1.3 to 3 microns. Thermal infrared, which is the biggest part of the infrared spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, that's from 3 to more than 30 microns.
Yeah. And so the thermal infrared, you're talking at that point about, infrared radiation, really.
Yeah.
Heat, in other words, is that's kind of how we perceive it usually. But that's something that's actually given off by an object itself. Whereas when we're talking about visible light, that's something that's reflected off of an object. right? So like, if I'm looking at a tree in sunlight, what I'm seeing is the light being reflected off of that tree. It's that light's hitting my eye. It's then going through the whole focal point, getting into my brain, and somewhere up there
in the gray matter,
my brain says, "Hello, that is a tree, possibly a larch." A larch.
Can you recognize that from very far away?
Yes. That's how to recognize trees from very far away. Quite a long way away. So that's how that would normally work. With thermal infrared, if I were to see an object using thermal infrared, let's say that somehow I have that ability. You know, we're not talking about technology here, but I somehow have the natural ability to see the thermal infrared.
It happened when they shot him into space and he was bombarded by cosmic waves.
Wow, we're really just pop culturing this. It's all to heck and back. So yeah, with the thermal infrared ability, I would be able to see the energy that is being emitted by any particular object. It's not necessarily light that's reflecting off. In fact, there doesn't have to be any sort of light source at all. If I were in a perfectly dark room and there was another object there that's giving off heat, essentially, I would be able to see it because I would be seeing in that range. Even though there's no other light source coming in, it would just be that I'm actually seeing that that energy, because we'll get into why. It's kind of interesting. It has to do with excitation, but not good vibrations.
I was going to say.
Yeah. Although perhaps that lady was able. Never mind. So moving on.
I hope you guys are enjoying this classic episode so far. We've got more to talk about, but first let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor. Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices. And that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Before
Before we get into the whole atoms and thermal infrared, let's talk about the image enhancement approach first.
Okay, sure.
Because that's the one that's the most familiar, and it's kind of interesting. The way that it works currently is that you've got very basic parts to a particular kind of night vision. You've got your lens. That's where the light is going through, the objective lens. It's just a lens that catches...
It's a lens.
Yeah. It catches ambient light. It catches near-infrared light. So this is the near-infrared spectrum, the light that's closest to the visible spectrum.
Yes.
Now, that light is sent to a tube, and that tube's called the image intensifier tube.
Intense.
Yeah. And
been drinking energy drinks all day. And
So you can think of this tube, it's almost like a vacuum tube. In fact, there is a vacuum inside of it. So you think of this sort of imagine a glass vial, all right?
Okay.
In the middle of this glass vial, or on one end of the glass vial, you've got something called a photocathode.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the photocathode takes photons. Those are those individual elements of energy for light.
Yes.
And those come in the entire spectrum of light. So infrared, there are infrared photons just as there are visible light photons. So the photocathode converts photons into electrons. It's
right.
It's one of those...
So it changes light into electricity,
yes,
essentially.
Yeah. And if you listen to our episode about high-speed and low-speed photography, we talked about how there are certain types of materials that when a photon strikes it, it causes a reaction.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the case here. A photocathode, that's how it behaves. When a photon hits it, it gives off an electron. So you've got the photocathode at one end of this tube, and that's where the light that's being captured by the lens is directed to the photocathode. The electrons emitted by the photocathode then have to pass through what is called a microchannel plate, or MCP.
Yeah, it's a little glass disc.
Yeah. See, I thought MCP was the master control program.
Well,
end of line.
It is.
Oh, okay.
However.
Two different MCPs.
Well, it wasn't until Tron got hold of it.
That's right. So, glass disc, Tron, MCP, I'm sensing some convergence here.
Also, we mentioned Tron again.
Yep. So anyway, you've got this little tiny glass disc called a microchannel plate that has lots and lots of channels. That's why it's called a microchannel plate. Lots of channels that go through this plate. Okay, so think of the plate. Think of it like a dish.
Yeah.
You've got a dish, put it up on its side, and it has a whole bunch of little holes drilled in it.
Yeah.
Now, those holes are what allow electrons to pass through, but there's also an electrode on either side of the dish.
Mm-hmm.
So, electrons coming from the photocathode strike one side of this microchannel plate and start to go through one of the channels. And they're going through in the same direction they came from the photocathode section of this image intensifier tube. So, the photon converts to electron. Electron goes through this channel. As it goes through the channel, it starts to actually set off a reaction.
Yeah, and it basically functions as a multiplier for the electrons.
It's called a cascaded secondary emission. So this is where when an electron collides with something inside that channel, it starts to set off other electrons down that same pathway, and there's a voltage applied to those electrodes that's channeling the electrons through that pathway. Like, that's why they're going in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got more and more electrons bouncing off of each other through these channels, which means that you've created an amplifier.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if you guys want to know kind of like a big picture way of what this might look like, imagine having and you can see plenty of videos of this on YouTube, but imagine having a big glass container filled with mouse traps, and each mouse trap has a ping pong ball set on it.
Right.
And then you drop a ping pong ball into the glass chamber, and that will set off a mouse trap. And as the ping pong balls bounce around, they set off more and more mouse traps. So soon the glass case, like within a fraction of a second, the balls are bouncing everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same sort of idea here with the microchannel plate, except we're talking on a subatomic level, and we're talking about something that's really channeled, really has a firm direction. So instead of the electrons bouncing everywhere, they're going in a very specific direction.
Right.
Now, when they get to the other side of that microchannel plate, you've got the electrons still traveling in the same direction they were when they came in on the front side.
Mm-hmm.
But now there are way more electrons, right?
Yes.
You just amplified the number.
Yeah.
The electrons then hit a screen that's coated with phosphors. Now, mm-hmm. Phosphors do they're kind of like the opposite of the photocathode, right? They take, when an electron strikes the phosphor, they give off light.
Mm-hmm. So you're changing the electron back to a photon.
A photon, right. But now, because there are more electrons coming through hitting that phosphor than there were coming in, the light that's generated is much greater in intensity than the light that was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So you've amplified the light. Now, that information, that light, is sent to a viewer of some type. It could just be a regular lens, which is usually called the ocular lens, or it could be sent to a monitor.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a pair of night vision goggles or a night vision scope, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing that amplified light hitting the lens or the monitor.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome, right? And again, this isn't just the visible light, the ambient visible light that's out there, but also the infrared light. So, because those photons, it doesn't matter if it's visible or not.
Mm-hmm.
The more light that's hitting certain areas, the brighter it's going to be for whatever it is you're looking at. So if you're looking at something that's fairly reflective, you're going to be able to see it in higher definition than you could with something that is not as reflective.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are different ways of actually achieving this, too. You can have a various there are various generations of this technology. All right. So the earliest generation of this technology actually involved shining infrared light at the objects you're looking at through the night vision goggles.
Right. So when that infrared light was reflected, then you would be able to see it.
Right. Because these goggles were not so sensitive as to be able to take just the ambient light.
Right.
If you did that, you would probably get, you might be able to see marginally better than you would if you had just used your regular vision. But using this infrared flashlight, essentially, you could illuminate the scene and be able to see it through the night vision goggles. But if you did not have the goggles, because infrared light falls outside the visible spectrum, any independent observer wouldn't be able to tell what you were doing.
Yeah. Now, I did some research on the U.S. military mm-hmm. website about the history of night vision, and apparently they sent about 300 sniper scopes over to be used in the Pacific theater during World War II, but they didn't get used very much because of the way that the technology worked. They really could see less than 100 yards.
Yeah.
So they weren't very effective.
Right. Because again, since it's dependent upon a reflected ray of infrared light, if it's, the ray's starting to disperses as it goes out, right? It's
right.
not a concentrated ray like a laser.
A beam.
Yeah, it's not a beam. It does disperse and diffuse as it goes out. So the further away your target, the less likely you're going to be able to see it. And even with a really, really advanced version, this, by the way, is called active infrared.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
you are actively beaming infrared radiation out in order to try and see stuff coming back through the monitors. Because you're relying on that reflection, if it's too far away, you're not going to be able to see very well. So obviously a sniper rifle, where at least in theory, you want to be able to put your snipers at a good distance away from the targets to maximize their effectiveness and minimize the chance that they will be targeted. It's not so effective if, your distance is cut down that dramatically.
Yeah, plus the first generation wasn't exactly useful for someone like a sniper, considering the batteries were huge and the IR emitters had to be carried on flatbed trucks.
Yeah.
It's hard to put one of those up in a tree.
Yeah, yeah. It turns out that also all of these are going to involve having a power supply of some sort. But for the active infrared, it requires even
a lot more energy,
because you not just for your actual night vision device, whether it's a scope or goggles or whatever, but also for the emitter. By the way, that generation is normally referred to as Generation Zero for night vision. Generation One was the first generation using passive infrared system. Now, this was the kind of night vision goggles or scope that could just use the ambient light in the area, although it needed a good amount of the ambient light. So moonlight or starlight.
It's funny you should say starlight.
Yeah,
that's what it was called.
Yeah, in the U.S. Army, they called it Starlight. Without the moon or stars, you wouldn't be able to see very much. So on an overcast night, it would not be terribly useful.
Yeah, but on a clear day, you could see forever.
I knew you were going to. But on a clear day, you don't need night vision.
Ding.
Okay. Starlight. First star I see tonight. It was better than Generation Zero.
Yes.
Still pretty far a cry from what we have today. Although, interestingly, if you were to go out and buy a pair of night vision goggles, you know, a consumer brand version,
yeah,
it would probably be Generation One.
I would guess.
You know, that's the military tends to reserve the more advanced forms. Generation
no.
Two, it's possible that it could be Generation Two as well. Generation Two were they had better image intensifier tubes, which meant that they could use them in extreme low light conditions. So on a moonless night, you could use these and it would be strong enough to be able to amplify that light so you could see. Generation 3 is what you can find in the U.S. military now. And that is they used a new kind of photocathode called gallium arsenide, so it's even more sensitive than the previous ones, which means that, you know, it's not that the they've really advanced the technology that much. They just found a material that emits electrons much more readily than others.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I believe we talked about gallium arsenide when we talked about transistors.
I believe we did.
Some months back.
Yeah, and then we have Generation 4, which is yet more improvements, and it works both in low and high level light environments, which that's important too, because sometimes you're in an environment where you're going to have more light than let's take two separate nights. Okay, we have one night where let's say there's a lot of moonlight, there's starlight, there might even be some lights set up in whatever it is you're looking at. Like let's say it's an enemy encampment. Let's say you're a sniper looking at an enemy encampment. If you're using a device that's meant for low light environments, you might not be able to see anything anyway, because all of that light just overwhelms the device, and so all you see is just a big, you know, green screen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you need to have one that can work in both kinds of situations. That's your basic image enhancement style night vision device.
Mm-hmm. Chris and I are about to wrap up this discussion about night vision, but before we get to that, let's take another quick break to thank our sponsor. Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices. And that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Now, I guess we can move on to the thermal devices, which, again, you can look at stuff and see the energy it's giving off, the light it's giving off, even though light, an outside source of light isn't necessarily present. And this has to, this involves the whole concept of excitation.
Yeah, yeah. Now you have to have a special type of lens to use when you're working with thermal imaging, basically to identify the infrared light. And you've got to, what happens is once the light is focused through the lens, a phased array of infrared detector elements scans it.
Yeah.
Basically trying to create a pattern called a thermogram, which shows you the different ranges in temperature.
Right.
And this can be done pretty quickly, about 1/30th of a second.
Yeah, so...
Okay, 30, there you go.
30 frames a second, essentially.
So yeah, true.
And considering that film is 24 frames a second, that's fast enough.
Pretty fast.
Yeah, it's fast enough so that you can get a good view. So even if something's in motion, you should be able to get a pretty good view of it.
Yeah, and then very much like the other style, it creates a thermogram and then translates it into an electric impulse,
mm-hmm.
Just like that, and then it's sent to a signal processing unit,
mm-hmm.
which is basically an electronic circuit board.
Right.
Instead of converting electrons to photons, it actually creates a display of information.
Right.
So it's more like a computer than it is an ocular system like
yeah.
the other one.
Yeah, you wouldn't have a lens, you would have a monitor of some type. Now, that monitor might be small.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it could be a monitor that
even
fits within...
We want it to be portable, probably.
Yeah, it could even fit into a headset or binoculars or whatever. Yeah, this is what I was talking about with the documentary Predator, where you've got the different colors representing different temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've ever watched any ghost hunting shows where they use thermal detectors to try and see if there are cold or warm spots, that's what they're using. By the way, yeah. just side note, mm-hmm. The air can actually retain heat for a good amount of time. So let's say that you're with a big crew of people down in a cold basement and you've set up a bunch of lights and stuff and you're filming some things. And then you turn the lights off and you go and you turn on the thermal imaging detector and you see this hot spot in the air. That could possibly be generated by someone who had been standing there for about 5 or 10 minutes or even a light that had been turned on, not necessarily a paranormal ghostly presence. Okay, rant over.
I was actually going to use Blue Thunder as an example.
Okay.
Like they used to, they would fly outside and hover outside the window and they could see the shapes where people were.
Yeah.
Which is funny because when you mention it like that, in the movies and TV, when a person moves across the room, the heat stays with the person.
Yeah, it's
and
all
makes
very,
an identifiable human shape.
Right. It's very, very much defined to that particular shape.
It seems like in the case of, since the air can retain heat, it seems like they would leave a trail of some...
Yeah, depending on how...
Or a residual pattern.
Right.
Much as the Roadrunner does with the little cloud of dust when it takes off.
Well, if you're moving steadily through the environment, you're probably not leaving much of a trail. But if you have been staying in a position
for a while
and then start moving, then it wouldn't be so quick as to... You wouldn't see like a clearly human-defined red shape move from a position that had been standing in for like 20 minutes
mm-hmm.
and then move across the room. It wouldn't, it wouldn't be an immediate effect. You would still be able to see at least the residual heat that was left behind. Now, it might be enough so that you can clearly tell which one's the human and which one's just the space that the human was in.
Right.
But it's not going to be, just totally clear cut.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, so if you're looking at a show and they're showing a colored image of, night vision, basically that's thermal imaging.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at the monochromatic green screen version, that would be the image enhancement. So you know now which one is which.
Right. So why are you able to see the heat? That's the question. Well, let me talk about some atoms here. Now, you've probably heard us talk about how atoms are... normally they're moving.
Yes.
It's really only if you're at zero Kelvin when you have no molecular movement, when you have no movement on the atomic scale.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Absolute zero. Yes. Because atoms are always moving. Even in solid material, like a block of marble,
mm-hmm.
the atoms within that block of marble are moving.
Yes.
They're not moving necessarily at the same speed as, say, oxygen, gas, is moving, but they are moving. And atoms have a specific state, an energy state that they are naturally found in.
Oklahoma?
A ground state. No, no, not that kind of state. The ground state is what we call it. That's the ground state energy level. That's the amount of energy an atom has normally if no other outside forces or energies are acting upon it.
Okay.
So you've got the ground state energy level. That's when all the electrons are at their normal electron shell distances from the nucleus of the atom. When you add energy to an atom, then you excite the electrons until they start to have so much energy that they'll pop into outer electron shells, further out from the nucleus. And the more energy you pour in, the further out they get. Okay? So when you remove that energy, when that energy is, when the electrons get to a point where the energy has decreased enough so that the electrons are going to go back toward the nucleus, they have to give off some kind of energy for that to happen. You know, right? So think of it almost like you have a balloon and you overinflate that balloon. When you let out the air, then that balloon's going to deflate some, right? It's going to come back down to a smaller size. And if you keep it open, it's going to go all the way down to flat. Well, the electrons are going to start moving back toward the nucleus. They give off photons when they do this. And depending upon the material that in question, you'll get different kinds of photons within the spectrum of light. So some things are going to give off light that is actually visible, especially if you pour enough energy into it. That's why, let's say you've got a toaster oven. And you got the toaster oven going on full blast and you look in and you see the little toaster oven coils have turned red.
Yes.
That's actually photons being given off by these atoms. And if you were to pour even more energy into it, if you were to crank it up a notch, those coils might start to glow even brighter and different colors. So if they went from red to orange, that would mean that you have even more energy that's being given off, right? That you've poured more into it and it's giving off higher energy photons. So all materials, all things are giving off at least some kind of photon energy when they are, because of the whole idea of movement and excitation. And the more it gives off, the brighter it's going to be. So that's what the thermal night vision goggles are detecting when the light's being pulled through that lens, when the lens is directing that light to the sensors. It's detecting the photons that are given off, the thermal infrared photons that are given off by things just because of the excitation of atoms. So that's what we're actually looking at. That's why you can be in a completely isolated room. You could be in a cave deep below the Earth's surface where there's no ambient light whatsoever and still be able to see based upon the what's around you. Now, the less stuff gives off heat, then the less you're going to be able to see. The less excitation is there. So if you're in a cave where there's nothing else living in there, it may, you know, the thermal goggles may not do you any good except to let you see where your feet are in relation to the rest of you.
So that might be more useful to carry, say, a flashlight.
Yes, that might be a good idea, to carry a flashlight.
Or a headlamp, even better.
And so that's kind of the basics of night vision. It's pretty cool stuff. I don't know. Have you ever had an opportunity to actually look through any sort of night vision stuff?
No, not really. I just haven't been exposed to it. But you can use it for all kinds of different things. Of course, the military applications are obvious. But you can use it for, photography, for spelunking. You know, that was an excellent suggestion. You know, all kinds of sports and things where you might be out hunting, you know, out in the woods.
There are a lot of camcorders out there that have it now. There's also cars that have displays that include night vision, a night vision element, so that you can see better when you're driving at night. And there are, in fact, cars that use different versions of it. There's some that use the thermal version where they're really detecting the heat of things so that you can get an idea if there's something in the road, like a person or an animal. But those are only going to show you things that are, again, active, really.
Right.
Then there are other kinds that use the image enhancement style. And there are even some that use the active image enhancement. So when you turn on your headlights, you're actually beaming not just visible light, but infrared rays as well.
Yeah.
You know, infrared radiation. So, the system in those cars picks up the reflection, just like we were talking about in the Generation Zero image enhancement night vision. It uses that same principle. Now, that, of course, means that the range is limited, mm-hmm. just as we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And if it's a foggy night, it doesn't work so well because the fog will reflect that radiation back before it can hit something more substantial. So you'll just end up – it's just like fog, right? It's just like if you were to put your high beams on the fog bank.
It's like pea soup out there.
Yeah, yeah. And in that case, the night vision might not help you out unless you have – well, if you have the thermal one, it might.
Yeah.
But The image enhancement style, not so useful in that situation.
And that's it for another classic episode of Tech Stuff. I hope you guys enjoyed this. It's always fun to look back in the stretches of time and revisit some of these topics that I've talked about in the past. I occasionally take these and make new episodes out of them. So you never know when I might revisit this topic and talk about the advances that have been made since 2011. If you have any suggestions for future episodes, why not go to techstuffpodcast.com? That website has all the different ways to contact us. Remember to check out our merchandise store over at tpublic.com/techstuff for all your Tech Stuff merchandise needs. Every purchase goes to help the show, and we greatly appreciate it. And that's it for me. I'll talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.